Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preciousness of the relationship we have with you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray, Lord, as we come before your word now, Lord, that we would be emptied of ourselves and we would allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. Lord, that your word would go deeply into our heart, our soul and our spirit today, that we not let it just go over our heads, Lord, but we take it in. Lord, to be refreshed and to see what a great and mighty God that you are. And we thank you, Lord, for the preciousness of the scriptures. And Lord, may it be a blessing to us all this morning. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. There's a Persian legend, and it tells about a king who needed a faithful servant. And he had to choose between two people for the job. And he took both at a fixed pay for the day. And he said to them, you've got to fill a basket, not a bucket, but a tightly woven basket with water from a well. And he said to them that he would come back later in that afternoon and inspect their work. And after dumping a few buckets of water into the basket and seeing the water come out the sides a bit, one of the men said, what's the point of doing this useless work? And as soon as we fill the basket, it just pours out and hardly anything goes to the top. And the other answered, but we've been paid, haven't we? The use is the master's, not ours. I'm not doing such fool's work, replied the complainer. And throwing down his bucket, he went away. Now the other man, he continued to drain the well. And after a hard day's slog, you can imagine pouring buckets of water into a basket and seeing half of it fall out every time you did it. After a hard day's slog, he looked down and he saw at the bottom there a big, precious diamond ring. And he said to himself, now I see the use of pouring water into a basket. If the bucket had brought up the water, the ring may have been thrown out. And before the well was dry. And he said our work was not useless. You know, in our life, there's a benefit to being faithful. There is a benefit to being faithful. When God's blessings do not fully coincide with our expectations, we have to remember to wait until the well is dry. We got to press on. There may be something precious for us at the bottom. God has blessed our church. He's given us a good building to meet in, good people, loving people, caring people. We have servants who labor for the glory of God, and I praise God for those servants. And sometimes it's like pouring a bucket of water into a basket. But there's one thing we are to do as we serve God, and that is to keep pouring the water. As you raise your families, to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to give them every opportunity to get saved, it's hard. You got to keep pouring the water. As you strive to walk in God's ways, sometimes it's difficult. You get in a workplace and people laugh at you and mock at you. That's not easy. That's not easy. But you've got to keep pouring the water into the basket. We notice in our text in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, in verse 1 there, Solomon, the son of David, notice he was strengthened in his kingdom. And look what happened. The Lord was with him. That's the title of this morning's message, God is with thee. That's used many times in Genesis 21 and 22. I think there's over 20 verses that state that. In Genesis 26, 28, we read there, and they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there now be an oath betwixt us, even between betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. And Abimelech, he, remember Isaac in the story, Isaac gave his wife to Abimelech to be a wife, and Abimelech said, hang on a minute, no, I can't do that. Someone else did that, didn't they? Abraham did that with Sarah to the king. And dads, what we pass on to our children, do come back into their lives, the way we live. He said, the Lord his God was with him. If you go down to verse 3, Solomon and all the congregation went with him to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God. And verse 4, but the ark of God, you know, we notice there David had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. You know, God's presence in our life sometimes can be through companionship. And that's a great help for us. We need companionship, godly companionship. Sometimes God's presence in our life is through the sure sympathy we can get from being brothers and sisters in Christ. It can be the sure counsel of his word. You know, sometimes God's presence is the strength we have when we come to a temptation and we're teetering on the edge of the cliff about to fall, and God's presence and God's strength makes us take a step back from that. And the whole Christian need is to know that God is with thee. If you notice in our text, the tabernacle or the altar is at Gibeon in verse 3. That's where it is. There the tabernacle or the altar of the congregation of God. It was at Gibeon. Notice where the ark of God is in verse 4. It was in Jerusalem. They were supposed to be together, not separate. You know, our worship and our obedience are together, not separate. That's the picture we have here. Now, our temptation, we are often tempted in life to do what's shown here, and that is to put a distance between the ark and the altar, put a distance between our worship of the great and mighty God and our obedience to him. We often do that. We may come on Sundays and worship God wholeheartedly. Love him wholeheartedly. I'm not saying we don't do that. We come and do that. And then we go home and we might not be obedient to the things we know we should do. We put a separation between the two. True blessing, the true presence of God, is when the two work together. As we worship God and obey God, we know God's presence at work in our hearts. Too often in our lives, there's a big gap between the two. See, a man can have all the devotion and no worship at all. And then some have all worship and no devotion. And whether it's our own temperament, whether it's what's going on in our lives, we can go off in one way, leaving God's wisdom. What God has joined together, we're told, let no man put asunder. And God has joined worship and obedience together. And if we're not careful, if we just focusing on one instead of the other, instead of bringing the two together, we will be drawn away from God's will and, most importantly, God's direction for our life. You know, our twofold obligation as a symbol in our life is worship or sacrifice. Men approach the altar always with gifts or sacrifices. And when they came into God's presence, they made a direct appeal to God for his mercy and his blessing. And this is a large part of our obligation to God. We are sacredly bound through the blood of Christ to draw near to God in reverent worship and to bring our pure and costly offerings and seek his blessing and pay our vows. God has set it up that way. Now, this is not a name it and claim it gospel. This is not a name it and claim it health and wealth church. We're talking about the true worship, the knowing the true presence of God in our lives. Secondly, is our obedience. Now, we know that the ark contained the law. Now, we are under strong bonds to obey God's commandments and keep them. Now, I'm not talking about the law of Moses. I'm talking about the commandments that Christ has given us. Remember, he said to us, "Ye are my friends if you do what? Whatsoever I say." That's what he said. We are to do what is right in his sight, and we are to put away all the things that God has condemned. You know, too many Christians play around with sin. They think they can get, I'll just get a bit closer to the edge. Nothing's happened yet. I'll just play around with this a little bit. I know I shouldn't be going here. One time won't hurt. I know I shouldn't be looking at this, but I'll be okay. And they get so close to the fires of sin, they think they're not going to get burnt, and then bang, they're burnt. You only got to look at Samson and Delilah. He knew what he should have done, and he didn't do it. He got burnt. All through the Bible, you see people getting burnt. Why? Because they want to play close to the fire of sin. And what God has said is no good for us, brothers and sisters. We need to understand it is no good for us. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse 3, he said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." No wicked thing. Now, a good thing for us to ask, would God look at this? People come into our lives, and as parents, especially watch your younger children, and they're going to want to turn aside your children from the ways of God. The Bible says we're to hate the works of those that turn aside. In fact, the Bible says it shall not cling to me. And that word cling is like a, you know, we all know what cling wrap's like, trying to get that off a packet of meat or something. That's what he says. Don't let it get a hold of you. That's what he says. Don't set anything. So that word set, it's like concrete. When you pour concrete, if it's still wet, you can mess it up. You can do anything. What happens when the concrete sets? It's hard, it cannot be moved, and if we're not careful and we're not guarding our eyes, well, what goes in through the eyes gets stuck in the mind, and once it's in the mind, it gets into the heart, and before we know it, we've fallen into the fire of sin. I think it's Psalm 119, around about verses 8 or 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God." Now, the Bible is so important to our lives. If you can get up in the morning and read a couple of chapters, finish the night off with a couple more, you're setting yourself up for a victory. the Word of God, if it's the first thing you look at and the last thing you look at, well, what a blessing that is to your life. It'll protect you. It'll watch over you. It'll clear up the faults we may have. Because God doesn't want us to fall into the pits of the fires of sin. We're His children. What parent would want their children to get hurt? None. And God's the same for us. He doesn't want us hurt. He wants us to understand that our worship and our obedience are to be together, and when they're together, God's presence is at work in our life. But if we're going to put one over here and do that all the time and leave this one over here undone, we're not going to know God at work. Now, our temptation, we are too often tempted in life to do what is shown here again, and that is to put a distance between the ark and the altar, between worship and obedience. Our wisdom. Just as later on the ark and the altar were reunited and showed that vital link of sacrifice and obedience, so should we see to it that if there's been a separation of the two in our life, that we rejoin them and keep them close together. So how do we do that? Well, we should first of all have a habit of obedience. We should get into our minds, man, that the Word says don't do that. How do you get a habit? You practice, you practice, you practice. And that would include our worship and our obedience, because God has joined them, we join them. That's the habit of practice. Now, we've been going through a series on the importance of the church, because a lot of people don't understand the function of a church. And some just turn up to church because they think, oh, I better go, something might be wrong otherwise. No, why do we come to church? To worship our God, and because He tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The worship and obedience. When we come, we expect God to speak to us. And it's not just through the preaching. It can be through the singing of the hymns, through the companionship and fellowship that we have together. And we need to get into the habit of making sure we join our worship and our obedience together. Second, each act of obedience should come from what worship encourages. See, you can't separate them. If you do, you're doomed. Why? Because we're here to honor an ever-present God. A God who's promised never to leave nor forsake us. To be with us at all times. You could be going through a terrible time at this moment. You could be facing a hardship that you think the person next to you doesn't even understand. And they may not. But guess what? God does. God does. He knows the difficulties that you're facing. He knows the struggles you're going to have tomorrow and next month and next year. And He wants to prepare you for that. How does He prepare you? Through worship and obedience. That's how He prepares you. Prayer prepared to honor an ever-present God. You know, I knew some people who decided one day, well, they'd have enough of worshipping and being obedient to the Lord. You see, Satan had got his claws into their lives, and he split the family asunder. Absolutely split them asunder. And it was hard and it was difficult. But one of them, decided this was wrong. And got on his knees and began to pray, began to call on God. He got his worship and his obedience back together and in order, and God started to work on the rest of the family. And God took that family from a broken shell and put the whole lot back together again, and they were then able to be used by God for his glory. And they continue today. Because, see, it wasn't just something they did. They knew they needed the presence of God in their life so that their marriage and their children and their grandchildren could flourish. Because they could see in their family that God's presence was important. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Thirdly, worship should lead up to and end in obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. We read, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." You see, that's a difficult verse to understand sometimes. When I was younger, I had a bit of trouble trying to work that out. And Deborah used to quote it to me when we were first saved, because we were doing a lot of work for the Lord. It wasn't so much worship, but a lot of work for the Lord. But to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. So what did that mean to me? Well, I had to sit down with the Lord and I had to pray over that verse, and I had to keep reading it, because, you know, the Lord delights in those who obey and listen to him. And I worked out that something is missing in what I'm reading here. And then the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said to me, he said, "Dennis," not an audible voice, don't get me wrong, "Dennis, if you obey God, you'll know exactly what to sacrifice." And from that day on, I've never looked back. Never looked back. Because verse 23 of that text tells us, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." You know why? Because it tells us again, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and he hath rejected thee from being king." No one's stubborn here, are we? No stubborn people at all. Amen. There you go. That's rebellion. We've all got ears attentive to God's voice, haven't we? Well, we're told there in 2 Chronicles that we're to join the two together before we can even hear him. You see, that the devotion to God, how would I put this? The devotion to God that ends with service service in purity, service in truthfulness, service in cleanliness, service in self-forgetting, service in kindness is all of the mind of Christ. And brothers and sisters, if I can encourage anything today from God's word, never let the ark be far from the altar. the worship, the obedience. Always let them be the closest companions in your life, and you will know God is with thee every step of your life. No matter what you're facing, no matter what it is, He will uphold you in His hand. He will take a hold of your heart and comfort it, encourage it, strengthen it. He will give you the wisdom you need to face the pressures in life that you are going to have or already have at the moment. He will take us all the way to glory. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful God we serve. God is with thee. Never let the ark and the altar be separate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Simple word, Lord. But it's the truth. And Father, I think sometimes in life we complicate things because we've left you out. There are areas we want to have you involved in, and then there's areas we don't want you to be involved in. And Lord, it just doesn't work. Father, may we know your presence at work in our heart through our worship of you and our obedience to you. For the one purpose, Lord, the one purpose, that you be glorified, you be honored, and you be praised. And we thank you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the work you have done for us. And may we rest ourselves in you, Lord, diligently seeking you, because we know, Lord, without faith it is impossible to please you. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Father, may that be true for us as we worship and obey you in spirit and in truth to the glory of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.